If you would, please be opening your Bibles to Titus chapter 2. Let's never forget, ever, who gets the glory, who gets the praise, who gets the honor. Oh, it's a wonderful thing to be a Christian. It's a wonderful thing to come together with so many Christians and to lift the Lord up in our songs, in our prayers, and in studying His Word. Where would we be without Him? We as Christians would be of all men most pitiable. But He has come, His Son, and shown us the Father, and died for us and been raised so that we can have hope of eternal life and that great resurrection. It's good to see you. Thank you for coming now. I appreciate the good job that's been done in leading the singing tonight, and appreciate so many people here that I see that I've known for years. Sometimes it's so sad to go to a place and you're missing people that used to be faithful. They're not faithful anymore. But when you go and you see people who have been faithful for two or three decades and they're still here, it's wonderful. Don't ever forget that. And help your family and help your brothers and sisters in Christ that way. There are a couple of people here tonight that I'd like to mention. And that is my mother and my father. And I'm glad to have them here. And I hope that God will continue to bless them. We spoke this morning about a compass for godly fathers. This afternoon we want to talk to mothers, to godly women. Women professing godliness with good works. Let's set this up. Here we go. There you go. Women professing godliness. I'd like to begin and read several verses, just again, a very short reading, again from the Apostle Paul, the Spirit. Verse 1 of Titus chapter 2. But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. What a wonderful passage. The Bible is like that, isn't it? It can just say so succinctly, so much. And so we want to look at this just for a short while this afternoon to speak with women and their relationship to the Lord. As we said this morning, women don't have to marry, but so many do. And you have a husband and you have children and God has a plan for you too. So let's talk about it. Older women must stand up and speak out. Reverent in their behavior. Reverent. Of course they're not slanderers. They're careful about what they say. Mature Christian women speak carefully and cautiously. Someone once said, there's one thing worse than an undignified man, and that's an irreverent woman. One that you can hear coming long before you see her. That's not a faithful woman. But women need to be careful. They use a lot of words. And you know, you've done all those studies and readings how men talk about football and work and everything under the sun like that. And they gossip too, but women talk a lot about relationships. And so there's always the danger that that can lapse over into something you shouldn't be talking about. And older women know that. And they are to be good teachers, not only by their words, but by their lives. Younger women have to be careful, and older women teach them this. And besides, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things which they ought not to say. What messages are you sending by the way you speak when you talk to people? What do you say? You know, I've thought about that a lot. when I speak, what do I say? I remember one time I was working with some elders. There were three of them. And one of them was very upset because he knew that something was getting out. They had these meetings privately, elders' meetings, and I believe that's part of God's plans. Not that you keep things from the members and you're trying to do things. No, but there are some things that the elders need to handle. That's God's plan. And they would say things in the meeting like, now this is for us and this is only for us. Yes, that's right. But they were getting out of the elders' meeting. And they couldn't understand it until one meeting, one of them said, I've been telling my wife. And bless her heart, that woman couldn't keep her mouth closed. And the elder that was telling me this said, I cried all the way home from that meeting. It's not just women. You know I'm not saying that. But we've got to be careful. And older women, you have to be careful to teach them. What does the Bible say about our tongue? I tell you, some of the strongest language you've ever seen by way of reprimanding us is done in James. Let's turn there. James chapter 3. When you see this kind of language, that's when the Lord is saying, sit up and take notice. Notice what He says about our tongue. Let's begin in verse 5 of James 3. Even so, verse 5, even so the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by man, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God, the Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing, my brethren. These things ought not to be so. Now we can read that. We can talk about that. We can help people to understand that. But we need to be real in regard to that. Older women have a special way of teaching younger women. Now, I can talk to younger women. I can talk to older women. I can. But really, doesn't the Bible tell older women to teach younger women? And that's in every way, but especially in this way. Teachers of good things. Mature women use language that creates peace. And it relates to truth. I remember one time I was walking along beside a man, an older gospel preacher, and it's been years ago, but I said to him, now, you know, I maybe shouldn't ought to say this, but he said, stop there. You really ought not to say that. You need to go to the person you're about to talk about and try to work that out. If you know something, you need to help them. That's one of the best lessons I ever got. From an older man to a younger man. And that's the way we're speaking here. That's what we're talking about. Be kind. You know, it kind of jerked me back for a moment, but I got to thinking about that. It's precisely what I needed to hear. I know this isn't talking just about women. This is good for all of us. But older women, read this. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. When you speak, just when you're tempted to say, you know, have you ever heard somebody say, well, now, I'm not sure, but I have heard. And there may not be one grain of truth in it, and you have already hurt somebody's character. That's so, so unnecessary and so hurtful. Just give it some thought. You know, there's some areas that we look at sins and we just say, oh, well, now, we should never do that. But we look at something like this and we don't really quite get it. Where do you think the sin of busybody belongs? Where do you think that belongs? Well, you know, that's one of those things you shouldn't do, you know. What do you think about murder? About being a thief? about all kinds of evil doing. Do you realize that being a busybody is put right in that list? In fact, it was the last one. Let no Christian suffer in those things. Busybody. We need to be careful. And older women, you know. You know. You've lived long enough. You've read the Bible. You know what it says. And really, it's the responsibility of all of those that are older to help the younger to see and to understand. Mature women can make a big difference in a young woman's life. They can. In fact, the woman opens her mouth. In fact, it talks about the worthy woman here. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue, we talked about the tongue, but on her tongue is the law of kindness. We all know women like that. There's some right here, today. You speak to them, and you leave them going, the Lord is good. God is good to change people like this, to make people like this. And oh, how you need to pray to the Lord that you can learn more how to help younger women. So often you hear a woman say something like, well, you know, I've taught for years and years, and I'm older now, and it's time for somebody else to step up, you know. But maybe somebody else can't step up the way you can. Maybe somebody doesn't have the kind of knowledge and experience that you do. Have you ever noticed the great people of faith never saw themselves as being ready to retire? I love that passage over in Joshua chapter 14. They're going into the land, the Israelites clearing it out and all of that. And who shows up on the doorstep of Joshua? Caleb. He said, you know, the Lord let you and I come into this land. And I have land around Hebron, in that area. And I know the sons of Anakim are there. I know the giants are there. But let me have my mountain. Let me have my land. The Lord helps me, I can take it. And I'm just as able to go in and out to fight as I was back then when I was 40. I'm 85 now. I said one time in a lesson, well, I kind of doubt he was. Somebody on the way out said, well, now you don't know that. The Lord may, well, He may have. But the point I'm making is that when you grow older, don't sit back. Don't sit down. Don't let down. I know that there are medical issues. I know. But don't you let down. You stand up and you speak out. Don't ever underestimate what you have done and what you can do still. Well, younger women should carefully listen. One of the most frustrating things in the world is to tell somebody what you know, you don't think, you know is best for them. And they just won't listen to you. They just won't listen. Younger women, there are all kinds of people out in this world, and they'll tell you everything under the sun that you ought to do. But they don't tell you what God wants you to know. And faithful older women will. They can and they will. Listen to them. Learn to love their families. Isn't that what the text said? And I know people that read that and they think, what in the world does that mean? Learn to love your families? I mean, you don't have to learn to love your families, your husband. I mean, everybody knows that you just love your husband. I'm gonna tell you something. That's not so. We live in a time where a lot of young women, and they don't mean anything by it. They see what TV and movie and everything. You know, it's just beyond my ability to speak it. It's uncontrollable. It's overwhelming. And I'm not making fun of you. You're in earnest on all of that. This thing is bigger than the both of us. We don't choose who we fall in love with. The heart wants what it wants. What in the world does that mean? Once David took another man's wife and killed the man for him, David was never the same. He got forgiveness of his sins. I know that. But his family fell all to pieces. And it starts over there with Amnon, who he said was he was in love with Tamar, his half-sister. Well, he shouldn't have been doing that under the law of Moses. But Jonadab, one of his relatives, he said, I just love her. Just follow Jonadab. He's a rascal. And he gave him the advice, and he pulled her in, and he raped Tamar. And the Bible says there in 2 Samuel 13 that he told his servants, put this woman outside the door and lock it. And she was pleading, no, no, don't, please. And he just put her out and locked the door. The hatred that he had was for her was greater than the love that he had for her. Let me tell you, you could substitute the word lust in there because that's what it's talking about. The Lord has set up a situation where we can have that physical desire and that commitment all right in marriage. But the devil wants you to know, think that there are shortcuts. No, you can, that's just a big lie. Let me tell you what love is. Love is a commitment when you say, till death do us part, and you mean it. Younger women, listen to that. Listen. It's not the sound of music. The hills are alive with the sound of music. It's not that every day. There are wonderful, wonderful times. I heard of a man, an older man, his wife was older and she was in a home and she had lost her ability to know much. She didn't know her husband. I don't know if she even knew who she was. I'm not trying to be in any way ugly. I'm just stating the situation. And he would visit her every day. And one of the workers one day said, why do you come and see her every day? She doesn't even know who you are. He said, I know that. But I know who she is. And then I promise to love her till death do us part. And I know the Lord knows that I know who she is and that the commitment I made to her. Young women, understand that. I really think a lot of marriages break apart when people just need to say, wait a minute. The Lord never meant for this to be something just always on high and we're just always happy and we're... No. We do the best we can, but we have children, we have work, we have struggles, we have life. Young women, young men, women, it takes commitment to God first, doesn't it? No mother needs to learn how to love her children. Now, I know that for a fact. Now, I'm going to say something, and you... Whatever you want to think. There's some men here and there's some others that when I say this, you're going to think, you're crazy. Well, just wait a minute. There are some young mothers here and they've got young children and they love them with everything inside of them. They love their children. But all along they're asking themselves, is there something wrong with me? Junior... And my little girl, they're about to kill me. They're about to drive me nuts. If I could just find somebody, some place to put them just for a little while, they're safe and everything's good, and then I could go out and maybe just stare at the mountains. You know what I mean? Now don't say you don't know. You know. I have two grandchildren. My oldest one is a boy. We call him Cole. His first name is David. Anyway. But he loves Star Wars, and he loves, of all people, Darth Vader. That's right. I don't know what that says. But anyway, his family has bought him a Darth Vader outfit. He's got the pants, the black shirt, he's got a black cape, and he's got that perfect helmet. Have you seen that? And they bought him one of these swords that goes, vroom, vroom. And they came over to stay with us one Saturday morning. And I woke up one morning, I slept in a little bit, about 7:30. It was on a Saturday, and I opened my eyes, and he was standing there with his saber out. He was young. And, of course, I hammed it up. I said, oh, no, Darth Vader. And he took his helmet. No, it's me, Daddy, man. You know, it's kind of like, do you want to talk about my grandkids now, or you want to wait a while? You know what I mean? The truth is I love those grandchildren. I love them. I love it when they come. And I love it when they leave. I do. And you know exactly what I'm talking about. So what we need to understand is, you mothers, there's nothing wrong with you. You trust in God. You listen to those older women that are Christians, not people of the world. Don't listen to all the things they tell you. They're absolutely ridiculous. You listen to the older woman that says, but a child left to himself brings shame to the mother. Amen. Mothers are to manage the home, 1 Timothy 5 and verse 14. They're to see to it that those children... The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. Now, I know you've heard that 100 times. That's absolutely true. I've seen children left to themselves. People of the world say, well, you need to do that. They'll grow up healthier and stronger. And I tell you what they'll grow up not understanding is that they're not in control. The God of everything is. And they're going to have to submit to Him. If not, at the very last of everything, they will submit to Him. As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess to God. Don't ever, ever forget that. And don't let your children forget it. Young women, listen to the older women's advice. Listen. Because before you even know it, your children are going to be looking you in the eye and other women are going to be coming to you to get that good biblical advice. Keep yourselves pure, younger women. Older, spiritually mature women model that. Women, adorn yourself in godly apparel with shamefaced and sobriety, not with gold or pearls or costly array, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. You know, sometimes we really emphasize verse 9 there, and that's important. But we miss verse 10. I guarantee if you have a woman that really is devoted to the Lord, verse 9 takes care of itself. That's true. Well, let me say this before I say that. You know a perfect example of what I've just said? Many of you know the story of Ruth. It's a very short book over there in the Old Testament, 4 short chapters. But it talks about Naomi and Ruth coming back to Bethlehem in that area. And all their husbands had died. Well, they come back and Ruth is this very pure woman. And Naomi is her mother-in-law. And she guides her through a relationship, a romantic relationship with a good man, Boaz. A beautiful story. And we sometimes tell that in Bible classes, and we ought to. It's glorious. It's good. But somebody may say, and we know it's so, I didn't have a Naomi. I didn't have the kind of family you've been talking about. I've made some terrible mistakes in my life. I sure wish I hadn't. Now where am I, David? Where am I? I wasn't pure. What do I do now? Let me tell you what you do. You do the same thing that Rahab did when she was in Jericho. And the spies came in to spy out the land. 2 spies sent in by Joshua, and they went into the town, and they were recognized pretty quickly. And they went into the house of Rahab, and Rahab hid them. And later says, save me, save my family. And do you know in James chapter 2, 25, read what the Holy Spirit said about her. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? What does likewise mean? Many of you here know what James 2 talks about. You know who it talks about? Father of the faithful, Abraham. One of the greatest, most faithful people. In fact, we're his children. Galatians 3, 29 tells, we're his children if we have that kind of faith. Right after he closes out talking about Abraham, one of the greatest men who ever lived, he says, likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works? And she made the Hall of Fame of the faithful. Hebrews 11, by faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe, when she had received the spies with peace. Rahab changed her heart, changed her life, and you know what God did to her? He changed her to being a pure, good woman again. I think sometimes, not just women, but men, have gone too far, so far into sin, that we just think, well, the Lord could never help us. He's not that powerful. He can't bring me back. Do you know what I've done? Have you taken another man's wife? Have you murdered him? We're almost insulting to God when we do that. We don't mean to be, but we almost are. The blood of Jesus Christ is so powerful it can wash away the worst of sins. And all sins bad, but you know what I'm talking about. And you may be here tonight and you may have been feeling that way. You may be thinking, well, what can I do? It's not really a matter of what you can do to earn anything. It's a matter of what you can do in trusting in God. And if you can do that, the Lord will do the rest. You have that special faith. And you show it, and God will help you. Pray that you find godly people. And I don't really know how to say this in a nice way, so I'll just say it. You join yourself to them, and you be obnoxious if you have to be. You stay with them. You know, you got Priscilla and Aquila, and Paul came into town, and he found them, and they stayed together, and they worked together. They were the same business, what they did, and they were together, and they helped each other. And young women, listen, find good people. Find the will of the Lord. And what did we say today earlier? Pray. I used to think prayer was important. Yes, Christians pray, and yes, prayer is the lifeblood. I'm telling you, prayer is the lifeblood of us spiritually. Don't you let anyone tell you anything differently. One day, you women, you're going to have to stand up and speak too. Finally, women are the foundation of the home. Women are homemakers. Again, to that worthy woman, she watches over her household well. You read Proverbs 31 from 10 to the end of the chapter and just read what that woman did. Considers a field, buys it, sells it, makes garments for her family, and she's just going, man. And that's what God wants. Timothy. Paul one time in writing to the Philippians wrote to them and said, I'm sending Timothy to you. I think it's 1 Timothy 2, verses 19 to 20. There is no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. Again, a compliment like that coming from an inspired apostle, that is incredible. But where did Timothy get his faith? Acts 16 tells us his father was a Gentile. His father probably wasn't a Christian. Where did Timothy get his faith? When I call to remembrance the unfeigned, the genuine faith that is in you, that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Where did it begin? His grandmother and his mother. Timothy, from childhood. Look at this now. Listen, watch it. From childhood, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Timothy, this has been a part of your life, all of your life. Elders are warned about false teachers subverting whole households, not if they're sound. Mothers, help your children in learning God's Word. Do you recall that in the days of Pharaoh, in the days of the Israelites, and they were being really, really grievously treated, and the Israelites were growing, though. They were just prolific. They were just growing. And Pharaoh said, well, just start throwing the young men in the water out there. And Amram and Jochebed had a son. And they put him in the water, but they didn't throw him in the water. They made a little boat. Put pitch all around it, and they put it among the bull reeds, so people might not see it, trying to save that child. And you know who came down and found that basket? The daughter of Pharaoh, the king of all of Egypt. And she saw the child, he was crying, she loved him, she wanted him, she took him, and Miriam, Moses' sister, ran up and said, "Would you like for me to get somebody to nurse him and take care of him for him?" "Yes, do that, do that." Guess who she got? And so when Moses is standing there before Pharaoh saying, "The great I am that I am says, let my people go." Where do you think he got all that? From a godly mother. Don't underestimate this. I will tell you the difference. The difference in people in the church that are just kind of there and people who are faithful. People who are faithful, not just in the church, all throughout the history of God's people. When God says to do something and teaches us principles, the people who take that seriously are the people who please God. That's the truth. And it's just as true today as it was all through the time that man has lived here. Submissive to your own husbands. That's easy. Sarah was submissive to her husband Abraham, calling him Lord. Not Lord God, but a title of respect. Well, that'd be pretty hard to do, wouldn't it, to respect Abraham? He'd be a hard person to honor. No. But not everybody's married to an Abraham. As we've already mentioned, some were married to a foolish man, like Nabal, Abigail, a good woman, good woman. And when Nabal gave that surly answer to David's men and sent them off back to David, even the servant that came to inform her said, "You know what a scoundrel he is." And she went out to David and she just said, "He's just a fool. I wish he weren't, but he is." You know something? The Lord took care of Nabal. The Lord will take care of every one of us. He'll take care of sinful, disrespectful, arrogant men. But the way women are to handle that is they are to very carefully live right before their husbands. Live right before their husbands. Live right. You get it? Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of the wives. Years ago, I was in a congregation and there was a woman who had come out of another religious group. She had obeyed the gospel. Faithful. Two little children. She brought them every time she was there. Her husband had been raised around the Church of Christ. He didn't obey the gospel. And I prayed about that and I thought about that and I thought, I'm going to study with him. And I got that all set up and we sat down and I spoke probably an hour and a half. Next week. I went to one of the members' places of business the next day and I sat down. I was almost crying. I mean, I really prayed about that. He said, "Well, don't give up. You have another meeting?" "Yes, I have another meeting." So that rolled around. I went in. We sat down. And I spoke another 40 minutes. Just on and on. Finally, I just said, "Look, I don't know what to say to you. You've been raised around the church. What do I say to you?" I was a little nicer than that. But he said, "I have a question." I said, "Yes." He said, "Can I be baptized right now?" I said, yeah. I didn't convert him. The Word converted him, but his wife converted him. She didn't nag him. She wasn't always on him. She lived a good life before him. And if he's a good man, if there's any goodness in him, that'll get to him quicker than anything else you can do. I know it's not easy, but as I said about men, it's not easy there either. How can a woman respect and submit to a man like that? Well, Colossians tells us, doesn't it? We submit to God first. And when you submit to God, you can submit to a crummy government, and I don't mean that ugly. I mean, all governments of men have been good at times and they've been bad at times. But if they're not violating the Lord's will, if they're, you know what I'm saying. You can submit to them. You can submit to your husband. You can submit, but you're submitting to the Lord. And that's the thing we have to see. How does failure in this cause the Word of God to be blasphemed? You know, we live in a time, and I want you to listen carefully. We live in a time where, and I don't know exactly how to say this, men have been watered down a lot. 30, 40 years ago, men, you know, they were kind of here, and women were kind of, they're a little bit down here. But you turn on the TV and you turn on the radio, and I know many of you are going to leave saying that's the craziest thing I've ever heard, but you just notice it from this point on. Who is the Dumbo in all the TV and commercials on the radio? Heard one the other day about, okay, kids, it's ready to go, let's go. Dad, you left the fire burning. You're dumb. And a lot of men are buying into that. You're not dumb. You just let people convince you that's where you belong. No, no, you're a leader. You're to be the leader. And women, you're smart. The man being the leader doesn't mean you're one whit behind him spiritually or mentally. But that's God's way. And you can show how much you respect God and His Word by showing how you will honor the role that He has provided for you. People of the world may look at you and say, "Why, it's the silliest thing." God is looking at you and saying, "Well done. Well done." You know, we said this morning that you need to really do some soul searching in this kind of thing. And women, you do too. You may have been in situations where you haven't done the things God wanted you to do. And what you need to do is you need to sit down with your husband, and you all need to get apart from everybody, your children, and you need to talk about it with an open Bible, an open heart, and work that out. And if you have done anything to hurt your husband or husbands, your wife, that won't go away. I think we think, well, that happened 15 years ago. Lord's probably forgotten about that. Time means nothing to the Lord. One day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. What's He saying there? Okay, let's calculate that. He's saying time means nothing. What means something is serving God and loving God and doing what He says. Wouldn't it be great? Those men that came forward this morning, some people in the world will look at that and say, well, those aren't really men. That's not true. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 15, verse 1, the Lord told him to run through the streets. Just run. See if you can find a man somewhere, a man that loves me, that'll serve me. That's a man. And of course, that's generic. A man or a woman. And this is a time for you to step up. Think about it as we sing this song and as we stand.